Stadium. See it kick off.
Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the morning after, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net.
Hey St. Louis, since you can't go to Busch Stadium, let Schnucks bring the stadium to you. Two lucky Schnucks Rewards members will win a very unique Cardinals experience. Schnucks will bring a giant TV, ballpark food, Anheuser-Busch beer, and several other surprises from the stadium to your backyard for a Cardinals watch party. There will even be special appearances from former Cardinal players. All you have to do is download the Schnucks Rewards app and enter to win. So download Schnucks Rewards and have Schnucks bring Busch Stadium to your backyard.
Mom, what do you always say?
There's nothing sadder than jewelry that sits in a drawer.
That's why we are proud to offer jewelry repair on-site at Newsetter's Fine Jewelry. We know that your jewelry is important to you, and we take that part of our job very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
What do you think, Dan? Did you see that last night, Dan?
I was walking up.
What was your favorite part?
Yeah.
That mic isn't turned on, Dan.
Way to go, Dan. Now you look even more ridiculous. The reason we said, Dan, what do you think, is Dan was nowhere around because somebody stopped by to say hello. And, of course, Dan had to go get their life story and walk outside with them with no regard for the fact that he's, you know, supposed to be part of the show right now. But that's Dan. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you? Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's Tuesday, which means in the 4 o'clock hour, Dan Buffa will be with us. What I'd like for you to think about is if you're in a position to jot a couple of notes down, you could do that. During the 4 o'clock hour, call us and tell us what you've discovered that's worth watching. And here's the reason that that has become, well, especially with this COVID mess, an interesting segment. I would say 80% of the things in the last 3 years that I have watched Some I liked, some I didn't. But it's because of you folks, listeners. You email and go, Frank, check this out, watch this. Or you call during Buffa's segment. So you've been a great resource for me because I think most of you have a pretty good handle on, you know, what at least I like and don't like, and maybe the other people in the room too. So feel free to call. And look, if you say, I kept hearing about this and hearing about it, and I watched it, it's the worst thing I ever watched. Maybe you can save us a bunch of time if you think it was that terrible. But good or bad, give us a call. I will give you the numbers now, and these are the numbers you can use to call us this hour or next hour when Mr. Buffa gets here. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Ooh,
something real quick.
Stepping right up to the mic. Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Frank. So I was walking my dogs earlier today, and I saw something that I've only ever seen once before, and it pretty much sums up 2020 for me. I saw a squirrel fall out of the tree.
I saw a squirrel fall out of the tree.
I was just walking my dog, and then I just saw this gray little...
Was it dead?
No. It landed, and then it kind of like just... got it for a second.
You don't see that.
You do not see a squirrel falling out of a tree.
I've watched for it because I live in the woods, and I've sat in the window, and I thought, well, eventually you're going to miss that branch you're jumping
to.
They never miss.
They never do. I've seen them run along fences and little wire fences all the time, and they're fine. You know,
how far do you think you fell? Like 30 feet?
Nah, maybe 10, 15 feet or whatever. Not enough to kill him, but I just thought, wow.
I wonder what the height would be for it to be fatal. If a squirrel fell...
You think
say that again.
Like,
you say squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say?
Squirrel.
Right on.
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey.
So, I don't know, but 10 feet obviously doesn't do it.
Nah.
I think
40 feet, maybe?
I think 50 feet.
Definitely.
I mean, do them in.
Yeah,
and depending on the surface. Is
it
leaves, soft ground, concrete?
True. This was a concrete path next to grass.
Oh, that's tough.
So, I mean...
He shook it off. He got up and shook it off.
And just ran off. I mean, my dogs were kind of like bewildered a little bit. Like, whoa, what's this?
I wish I could do that.
Right? And then it was gone. But I just thought, wow, I've never... once before I saw a squirrel fall out of the tree.
That's a weird difference between dogs and cats, though. A cat can fall and it just land on its feet. During the fall, they figure out that their feet should be below the rest of
their... twist.
Yeah, and they do a quick twist and poof, on their feet. A dog, I'm sorry, but they don't have that ability.
My daughter
told
me
that.
My daughter
hey, look who's
me.
Here, Dan Stroud.
Hi, everybody. My daughter, Alyssa, who I don't talk about much, but she told me that she got home the other night and saw a dead squirrel sitting on the driveway. Mm. I mean, not
sitting?
On the driveway. Not, or just laying there on
the
sidewalk.
They can't sit if they're dead.
No, it was dead. A dead squirrel laying on the
sidewalk.
Unless
he died in a sitting position.
He could have.
Right.
Could have.
But I think he fell out of the tree because I've seen squirrels fall out of the tree.
Wow.
And was yours dead?
No. It survived. Oh. It survived. Like, it landed and then just kind of took off.
Well, here's the thing. I wonder why we don't see it more often. The one that Alyssa saw... probably had a heart attack. I mean, squirrels probably have heart attacks, and they're up there 1 minute, you know, chomping away on some acorns, and then, and then they die. They can't always crawl off somewhere they want to be and die. Sometimes they just die, you know.
I've watched them before in our backyard. They jump from branch to branch, and one of them jumped and missed the branch and went down to several branches down. But I thought, man, if they fall like that, and that's what could have happened with this one. And then he hits the concrete, and it's like, whoa.
They're gutsy, man, to make that jump.
I know.
Because sometimes the branches, they're not exactly the strongest, thickest branch. It's a branch that gives.
Right, it's a tiny little flimsy
thing. Down and up, and I'm thinking, whoo, you just barely were able to hang on to that one.
It is a gardener's worst friend.
Yes.
The squirrel. To the point where... I was playing golf with my dad one day, and I said, how was your morning? We had about a 10 a.m. tee off time. He goes, how was your morning? He goes, I picked off 3 squirrels in my garden this morning.
Wow.
Like, he had 3 decks on his house, and it sat high on top of a hill, the garden at the bottom of the hill, and he would shoot them. He had a rifle with, and you're the gun expert on this show, I believe it's a muffler or a silencer. He had some kind of, and it was a Russian rifle. It was a Russian gun. It was long.
Wow.
And he would pick them up, but he suppressed the sound because the chief of police of Wentzville lived right behind him. And I said, three? I said, that's a lot. He goes, my record's five. Wow. I said, well, Dad, how long have you lived in that house? He said, about 10 years. I said, how many squirrels do you think you've shot? He said, I think I've shot probably about, I probably would average 10 a week.
Wow. And you know what?
Like 10 a week.
And it won't make a dent.
52 weeks, that's 520 squirrels a year. You've lived there for 10. You said you've shot over 5,000 squirrels from your deck?
Yeah.
He said, that sounds about right.
I know people that'll shoot them with BB guns or pellet guns, too.
And there's a squirrel right behind him ready to eat the tomato that the dead squirrel didn't get.
Yeah.
It's just like an endless flow.
5,000 gone, 500,000 left. Not a dent.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dent.
As a former exterminator, Limey, you would agree. You can't.
Has anybody ever used
it? It'll keep your business.
Have you?
Once when I was a little kid, mm-hmm. I really don't remember it.
Mm-hmm. I did. It was very keen.
Pretty good.
I have not.
Pretty good. Fried squirrel. Yeah,
I did. There was a friend of mine.
Like fried chicken.
His dad would shoot squirrels, and then he'd fry them up, and he goes, here, try this. And I was like, and I tried it. It was so gamey. And I did not like
that. Then he didn't know how to cook it. If you cook anything right, if you cook it long enough, slow enough, anything can be tender after a while.
Bernice used to have, remember Bernice?
Squirrel gravy.
She
made squirrel gravy. Well, she loved it.
My philosophy on why there's so many of them is because nothing eats them. I mean, deer don't eat them. Can bears even catch them? I mean, what eats a squirrel?
I don't know.
Hawk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Coyote.
That's a big deal for a hawk.
Well, more squirrels than hawks. Take a lot of hawks to take them out.
Yeah.
Way too many squirrels. Yeah. The coyotes would eat them. But again, they're so fast, so quick. Coyote can't run up a tree.
I don't know exactly. I mean, what can catch them? What could snakes? I guess
some
snakes.
Yeah. Snakes. Some snakes can catch them when the snake is lying low and they make that coil lunge pretty quick.
The most amazing animal on animal catch I've ever witnessed is my neighbor's cat.
Bird?
Exactly. Oh. It's unbelievable how quick birds can jump up and fly away, or even like a house fire. And these cats would methodically crouch, and they'd take one paw step, and there'd be a 30-second wait, and then they'd take another paw step, 30-second wait. And that bird is just completely oblivious to the fact that cat's here, and I could not believe how close this cat could get to this bird. And when the bird realized it was there, it would shoot up and the cat would
leap up in the air and grab it and
pull it back down. It's spectacular. No,
midair. I've seen.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. And I mean, let's face it, if you're a bird, you got to have a little takeoff time. You can't just shoot up like a rocket. Too late. Cat got you.
I never told Dr. Doug.
Hey, why do we have the expression, cat got your tongue? What do people say that for? Has a cat ever gotten anybody's tongue? Really?
It's probably something from like medieval days or something like that.
But I just thought of it just now. Cat, come here, cat got your tongue? No, cat doesn't have my tongue. I don't think a cat's ever gotten anybody's tongue. And if they do, then I don't want a cat because while I'm sleeping, it's going to bite my tongue out. That's a weird expression. Cat got your tongue? You don't hear it very often either.
Because a cat's tongue, have you ever been licked by a cat?
Yeah, it's like sandpaper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But cat got your tongue.
Apparently, the ancient Egyptians used to feed tongues to cats.
Wow.
Like when they would harvest
human
animals.
Human tongues?
No, when they harvest animals at the butcher shop, nobody would eat. Nobody would want to take home, hey, give me a pound of tongue. So they would they fed the tongues to the cats.
Wow.
Cat got your tongue.
But that wouldn't make sense for, like, your tongue, a human.
Cat got your tongue. Cat got, you know, well, yeah, sure it does. You work with it a little bit. Expand your horizons a little bit. Cat got your tongue. Right. That's how the cats live. They were donated tongues from Egyptian butcher shops.
Never eat tongue?
No. Or brain.
No.
Not a fan.
Brain or tongue. Either one.
I'm not going to try tongue.
Liver. Never stood liver. My dad always wanted me to like liver and onions.
Love it.
Chicken
liver. Same with squirrel. You got to have it battered.
Ugh,
yeah.
No.
Chicken liver. Beef
and a truck
liver.
Stop fried liver. Limey.
The best.
Oh, boy.
You don't even need a dip in sauce.
Well, we've covered it all. From cat got your tongue to... eaten liver and everything in between. Did you have more?
No, that's it. That's all I got. Theo's doing fantastic. He is walking now. We've got him his first pair of shoes. Life is good, man. Life is good.
What kind of shoes did you get him? Don't get Nikes.
No. Just gotten some little slip-on ones. I want to get in some little Nike Shocks.
Don't get Nike. Get another brand.
Get another brand. Right, I can do that.
They become too political.
I also want to get in some of those little Timberland boots as well when it gets to winter.
Timberland's a Colombian Timberland. Those are okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Burke segment?
Skechers or something like that, too.
I have a one deal. Sticking with the animal theme.
Tim Woodburn, everybody. Thanks, you're welcome.
All right.
The only time I was ever blindfolded and taken somewhere in my life because the person taking me there didn't want me to know where I was going was a veterinarian who's supposed to be a protector and you know, repairman of animals.
For a minute, well, that's going to be a woman.
No, no. It was a guy. It was a veterinarian, and I was writing a story about cockfighting rings.
Excuse you?
Cockfighting.
Uh-huh.
You said cockfighting rings.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I meant.
They're a Dr. John.
No, it's like...
Although they're without the word fighting. They don't need that word in there.
Yeah, they're right on the shelf next to the gag balls, Frank. I'm sure you've seen them.
Yes, I have.
A cockfighting ring is essentially a group of people who... It's like a league. Substitute ring for league.
Oh, yeah.
A cockfighting league.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
And like, there was somebody in Kentucky who actually built... You're not going to believe this, a 3,000 spectator stadium with an adjacent restaurant and bar and disco lounge and parking lot. And on Friday nights, he
you can eat chicken on Friday night for the losers.
Well, it was fresh.
You know, they attach razor blade to their feet.
And that's where I'm going with the story. He took me to a training session where they would attach these things to their talons, and there'd be like from, Jurassic Park, where that velociraptor would tap his talon on the ground, there'd be that long extended talon, and that's how they would kill the other ones, by slashing them across the throat. That's how a cockfight ends. One dies.
Yeah.
It's a fight to the death. But they released these two cocks in front of me.
And please don't capture that.
Released.
Say it again.
Right in front of me.
That's beautiful. Play that every other time instead of the gag ball one. Go ahead, Tim.
Nope.
No, you got to go ahead now. The worst is over. Go ahead.
I want a disclaimer that I can tell the story without being edited or recorded.
Can't promise you that. Go ahead.
So these two C words were released in front of me, and it was
ex-wife was there.
Yeah, your wife. She lost. It was the most violent and rapid thing I'd ever seen in life, because they jumped up in the air at the same time and they collided together, and all you saw was
feathers,
and it was like a tornado.
Right.
It was so fast, and it was a whirlwind of activity. And then the owners just, like, they had a glove on. Owner of one, the owner of the other one, they just stepped in and grabbed them with that glove and yanked them apart. And one had like a cut on its chest, and one had nothing. They both survived it, but it was just like a little 10-second display of how violent that is. And God forbid I ever see a dog fight, like, you know, like Michael Vick was involved in, because
I couldn't do that.
That's not you see everything graphically, but in a sea fight, all you see is
feathers,
and then the dead bird on the ground at the end.
Who enjoys that? I don't understand.
People are so deprived of entertainment. He would fill thousands of seats at his arena, and this is highly illegal activity, and in rural, middle of nowhere Kentucky, and the authorities knew about it and didn't do anything to stop it.
Wow. Check your phone line.
And you know what? It still goes on. Virginia, it does. West. What's the really Appalachian?
West Virginia is the worst.
Yeah, they still have that. I guarantee you, Kentucky, they still have it in the rural areas, because you're right. They got nothing going. They're deprived. So they go to that stuff. And I'm with you. I could not watch a dog fight, mm-mm, one dog killing the other dog. Who are those people? Something wrong with those people.
People that are one rung above two people on the show who are conspiring against me right now, and it rhymes with Niney and Nan.
What?
They are conspiring. Oh, no. They're conspiring against me. Yes,
no.
They conspire against everybody. We're all included.
We have a recording of a cockfight.
Oh, you do?
Well, where was it? Where'd that go?
That one here. Got that one.
And then there's... Yeah, but you have to do it several times.
I can. That's the problem. Like,
Dan,
he doesn't have those
this
skills.
This was a bit.
I don't have.
This was actually a bit we produced years ago the country station. We took people live to a cockfight, and we had produced the sound of a bunch of boing, 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 boing.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That I had. No. I haven't got that sound effect yet. I thought you just wanted me to playing like that just a bunch of times.
Well, that's not a fight. That's just
that's just a bunch of erections.
Anything else?
No. Not after that.
No? All right. Shut it down. Man. Bert segment's officially closed. It's hot in here. It's so hot in here. What the heck? What happened to the air conditioning that usually works great here?
Just don't do what Nelly said.
I see that Hockey Bob is on the phone. Let's talk to Hockey Bob. Hello, Hockey Bob. How are you?
I'm doing swell. How are you all doing today?
We're hot. Other than that, we're fine.
If I could come over there and fix your AC, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Appreciate it.
Is it broken?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe
they pay
is.
The bill.
Maybe
somebody probably can't handle cold weather and they turned it up. But hey, a couple quick comments and then a question specifically for Tim Woodburn. First off, you mentioned cat got your tongue. The phrase that I never understood was you lie like a dog in reference to people who don't tell the truth.
Because they lie on the rug. They lie in front of the fireplace. They lie by the porch.
I always heard the phrase with the word lazy in it. You lie like a lazy dog.
Makes sense.
I understand that. I've heard people use it in reference to folks who don't tell the truth, and I've never understood that because I've never seen any dog that I've had lie. Secondly, you were talking about predators for squirrels. Well, you've got cats, you've got raccoons, you've got owls that you can, and snakes, which are pretty much everywhere. And then you've also got coyotes, bobcats, weasels, hawks, and, fishers, whatever they are.
Well, they need to start doing a better job.
Ones ever are around my house. Lastly, Tim Woodburn, I Googled September Fool, and your picture came up. Where did you get that term? I have never heard that in my whole 60-plus years of life, September Fool. So can you explain that to me?
Bob, if we have to explain it, if we have to explain it to you, you still don't really get the show.
Bob, I can explain it to you. Frank thinks that the whole April Fool's thing is ridiculous. Why is April 1st April Fool's Day? The first Fool's joke I ever played on these guys, and I think I'm 3 for 3, was when Trump had just been elected or the whole Stormy Daniels thing came out, and and I had to sell it with emotion and reaction on my face so that Limey and Frank would believe it. And I'm like in my laptop, and I like got this surprised look on my face, and I kind of looked at Frank and said, oh my God. I said, CNN's reporting that there's a sex tape of Barack Obama and Stormy Daniels. And Frank was like, what? Oh my goodness. And I paused and I said, November Fools.
So we just do any first of any month.
Any first of any month, it's that month's Fools, because April Fools is just the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree.
My brother was born on April Fools, and I would agree with you on that.
Okay. Anything else, Bob?
No, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you.
Man.
All right. I got to use one of my favorite things to mess with somebody this past weekend. After we went to Vandalia to fish, my son and his son went to Cracker Barrel in Troy, Illinois, where I might add, I don't understand the governor of Illinois. He's got the state busted up into sections, and certain sections you can't eat indoors. So here's Cracker Barrel with no indoor dining, and the only dining is out on the porch, which is like 10 tables. I don't know how they even stay in business.
Right.
Yet you can go in the Cracker Barrel store and mill around all you want to with as many people as are in there, and no big deal, yet you can't eat inside. Wow. So, when the lady came out to seat us, she just looked at me and she said, it's had a mask on, she said, sorry about your weight. And I said, well, I'm doing the best I can. I lost 10 pounds. I love doing this. When somebody says, in any business, when they say, sorry about your weight, I go, well, I can't help it. And then they always look like they're so embarrassed. Oh, she says, sir, I didn't mean it. I go, no, that's okay. It's too late now. But you might want to try that. If somebody says, sorry about your weight, especially in a restaurant when, you're waiting for a table, sorry about your weight, go, well, I've tried to lose, especially if you're heavy. Oh, it'll make them feel horrible.
I'm going to Annie Guns tomorrow. Should I try that tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll make them feel horrible. It will. If they say, sorry about your weight, use it. It's a good one. And for whatever reason, earlier today, I spent about an hour looking at...
yourself in the mirror?
No, I can't do that for an hour.
No, neither can I.
Looking at articles and some videos and segments of documentaries on Hell's Angels. I think most people are fascinated with the Hell's Angels, and part of the reason was last weekend at Lake of the Ozarks was the big biker weekend. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of motorcycles. And they do that every year. And when they first started it, people were like, oh, lock your doors. The Hell's Angels are coming to town.
Right.
Well, yeah, the Hell's Angels do show up. I don't know that they've ever killed anybody at the lake or really done anything, but I think they get a big kick out of the fact that people think when they roll into town, lock your doors. They like that.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, yeah, I wouldn't want to fight them. I wouldn't want to make them mad, but let's start here. How many Hell's Angels members do you think there are in the United States? Don't look it up.
I'm looking at the text.
Okay. I don't know, like 10,000 maybe?
Nah, only 2,500.
Oh, really?
2,500.
Yeah. Daniel,
wow,
got it.
Damn, way to go, man.
So it's really not that many. So when they do roll into town and a chapter or two, and they have, you know, 100 or 200 or 300 of them, pretty significant portion of the right. Hell's Angels. And a long, long time ago, I used to carry with me a recorder and a microphone. It was a little cassette recorder and a really good microphone, because if I was somewhere and I could grab a quick, good interview, I was ready to go. We go to a Pizza Hut at Lake of the Ozarks, and it's that weekend for the bikers. And the waiter or waitress, I don't remember which, came over to our table, and I said, so, I said, I bet you're doing a big business this weekend with all the bikers in town. And the person said, yep, it's been really good for business. And I said, well, I'd sure like to just have a chance to sit and talk with one of the Hell's Angels, not just one of the bikers, but one of the Hell's Angels. And this person said, well, look right over there. And over by himself was, and this is according to the server, the president, the regional president of Hell's Angels, like a big, high-ranking Hell's Angels guy. And he was, if you could conjure up the image of a scary-looking biker, it was this guy, big beard, big guy, but not big, like just fat, like big, like he could break you in half big. Not friendly looking at all.
Right.
And my wife was, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go out to the car. I'm going to get my recorder. And I did. And the guy was at a booth and he's eating a salad of all things, not a pizza. Maybe the pizza was coming later, but he's eating a salad.
Hmm.
And he, sure enough, he had the vest on and the whole deal. And I'll never forget this. I walked over. And I wouldn't dare just sit down at the booth across from him. I stood by him and I had my microphone and my recorder and he's eating a salad. And I walked up and I said, excuse me. I said, I understand that you are with Hell's Angels and, I know you guys are here for the weekend. And I introduced myself with Frank Opinion on the radio show in St. Louis. At the time, it was KUSA. And I said, the country format. And I went on and on and didn't know who I was. And I said, what I'd like to do, and the way I did it, I softened the blow by letting him know right up front, my intention wasn't to portray them as bad. Just the opposite, because what I said to him was, and the whole time he's just eating the salad, and he looked up at me like every 10 seconds, he looked back down, he ate the salad, and I said, I think it would be a great opportunity for you to let people know in this interview that you guys are not here to murder people or burn things down or kill people, I mean, or hurt people. And I think a lot of people have the wrong impression of Hell's Angels. So I set it up as this is a positive piece on Hell's Angels. And I'm still talking, and he's just still eating the salad. And I said, I just think it would be interesting for people to understand that you're here, you pump a lot of money in the economy, you guys are all obviously staying somewhere, campgrounds, motel, you're here, you're buying food, it's good for the economy, and unless I'm missing some information, you come here every year, and when you leave, the town's not destroyed. I would love to just do 5 minutes, 10 minutes with you, if that's okay. This guy never said one word to me. He looked up at me, and he just shook his head, no, and went back to eating his salad. And I said, all right, thank you so much. I said, thank you for your time. And I went back to the table. I told my wife, I said, this is not going to happen. This, and he wanted nothing to do,
right?
Even though I said positive. No, he wasn't interested. And that's my only almost encounter with a Hell's Angels guy. Now, the other...
What is a one percenter?
One percenter is... That's a great question. I just read this earlier today. It's the... Let me get this right. It has to do with the percentage of bikers who are, I want to say, in one of the very elite mongrels, devils, something, Hell's Angels. It's something like that. It's a percentage of bikers that few people are part of. I'm around it or close to it. You look it up. There's also a 2%er category. But the only other time I had an encounter, and I don't know if these guys were Hell's Angels or not. They were bikers and they were on Harleys and they looked mean. It was under an overpass on 270. And it was raining like crazy, and I'm on my little ring, ding, 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 my little puddle jumper.
Right.
And it's pouring rain. And when it rains, if you're on a motorcycle, you really prefer not to ride in the rain. It's slick. Can't see. It hurts. The water drops hurt. So I look up ahead, and I see other motorcycles off to the side under and over. I thought, okay, I'm going to join those guys. I get up there. They're all nasty-looking. I'll kill you if you look at me the wrong way. You know, those kind of guys. And right. Here I came, ding, 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 and I pull in, and I shut the bike off, and they all just stared at me. There's like eight of them, and they're just staring. They don't say anything. And finally, I thought, well, somebody's got to say something. And I just looked at all of them. I looked left, and I looked right, and I said, don't mess with me. And they burst out laughing. They just all burst out laughing. And then we were able to have a conversation. Right. And a couple of them said, what is that thing you're riding? And I said, well, it's a Bridgestone 90cc. And they burst out laughing, 90cc. It was a motorbike. It was just like a motorbike. And then they let me ask them about their bikes. And then we went on our way when it stopped raining. But I think a lot of people are fascinated with gang type bikers. I don't know who Hell's Angels' big rivals are. It's like the Mongols or something like this. Another group called Devils something. There are about five bad news biker gangs. And I don't know how you become a rival of the Hell's Angels. I don't know what you do. You kill one of their guys, beat them up or something at a bar. I've been in a couple of biker bars when I had one of my Harleys. I went with a friend who could certainly hold his own, and he was in a motorcycle club. I don't know if you call it a gang. And he said, would you like to go visit? And it was in St. Louis. It was up north. And I said, I don't go in there. He said, you go with me. And sure enough, when I went in with him, when he walked in, hey, a high five, and they knew him, and I felt, okay, I'm not going to get killed in here. But it was an interesting place to be. I've said before, in my life, I've owned exactly 17 motorcycles. That includes motorbikes, scooters, cycles, big cycles, medium cycles, dirt bikes, whatever, 17. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. To this day, if on a nice day like today, we're coming to the tail end of what for me is bike season, because once it drops below, I know, and this makes me a wuss to real bikers, but drop below 70, you lose about 15 degrees. You ever ride a motorcycle? You lose about 15 degrees.
Yeah, it gets about 15, 20 degrees cooler when you get on there. So, yeah. I
mean, so if it's 70, it's like 55. You need to dress for it. So I'm not a hardcore long distance. The longest trip I ever made on a motorcycle was Lake of the Ozarks or Mount Vernon, Illinois. That's about it. But there's something about it. If you ever have, and one other thing, the people who hate motorcycles. Oh, I hate motorcycles. 99 out of 100 times, they never had a motorcycle. They've probably never even been on a motorcycle. So they hate something they don't know anything about. Are they dangerous? Yes. Yes, I think I've done a lot of things. I've driven a lot of things and flown a lot of things. And I would admit the most dangerous thing that I've done is ride those 17 motorcycles. But I do it again tomorrow. I will probably, I hope, I'll get to have one more before I'm 90 years old while I can still ride. And what happens is, when I see these 80-year-old guys on motorcycles, I go, oh, man, hats off to you. Because what happens is you get older, you start losing your sense of balance. My balance isn't what it used to be. But I've still got what it takes to ride. I'm still very conscious of the dangers and things to watch out for. And when I say balance, I can certainly hold a motorcycle up and ride it. I mean footing. If you're at a stoplight and you're on a heavier bike and you start to lose it a little bit, you only got about 10 degrees. If it goes beyond that, you're going to drop it. And that's embarrassing when a bike falls over. It just is. So I'd like to have another one. But for you people out there who do ride, you probably noticed that there, in the last 10 years or so, a significant increase in the number of women who ride motorcycles, which I find very interesting, the women who ride. And I watched a little bit of video from the 2020 Sturgis thing. I always enjoy watching that. But if you ever want to see something unlike anything you'll ever see, go to Sturgis. I think it's almost always in August. Sturgis, South Dakota. Just go there for a couple of days. Book your room early, because you're not going to stay within 100 miles of that place if you wait a month or two out to book it. But just go. You will never have another people-watching experience like that. And for the most part, everybody is friendly. They don't care if you're there on a Honda. It's a good idea to ride a Harley. Just telling you, that's probably the best way to go. But they don't care. I never saw anybody got beaten up because they're on a Honda Goldwing. They just don't. They're just glad to see people on motorcycles. And the motorcycle business is way, way down. It's nothing like it used to be, because young men, for whatever reason, today aren't interested in motorcycles. When I was 14, from 12 to 16, it's almost all I thought about. I wanted a motorbike or motorcycle so bad I could taste it. I dreamed about it. I couldn't get it out of my head. And then at 16, I was able to buy, and I had to buy it, my first motorbike. And it was out of necessity, because I had a job. And we only had one car, and I needed to get to work. So my parents reluctantly gave in to let me buy a motorbike to get to work and back. And that's how it started. And that one led to the second one, to the third one, and the fourth one. It's kind of like a boat. You want a little bigger, a little bigger. Then you get a little smaller, a little bigger, a little smaller. You switch around. You try a different kind of bike for a while. Full dresser, touring bike, more of a sporty bike, maybe a trail bike. But once you do it, there's something about it, you can never get it out of your system. And today, when I see a beautiful motorcycle, I just think, man, I'd like to just get on that for a while and take a ride. So I may do one more. We got a lot of calls. We'll take a couple here. And Dan, don't worry about our guest that we're supposed to already have on. Oh, that's me. I'm doing it today. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun there. This is one time when you're actually not guilty. Let's talk to who's up first here, Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm aiming the pen.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, Frank, I ride. I love it. I have a 04 Heritage Softail Classic.
Oh, man, I had a Heritage Softail. Turquoise and cream. I loved it. I should have kept it, but I didn't.
Mine's burnt orange. Got the big fairing on it.
That's the other one.
I got every piece of chrome on it you can get. So
I spent the mid-90s, Steve, I spent $3,000 on every cool thing I could pop on there. Live to ride, ride to live, gold and chrome. You know what I'm talking about. The tassels on the handlebars, extra leather this, and it was, boy, it was fantastic. And part of the fun is just standing back not riding, just looking at it, knowing that every square inch of that chrome you have polished and repolished, yeah. And when you get home, you can't wait to get the bugs off and get it back pristine like it was.
That's right. I got the loudest pipes you can get on it, too.
My
when
neck-
I let off my pipes, then people know I'm around. But
the only thing,
a couple of stories.
Go okay. Go, no, the only thing I do differently if I get another one is I want those pipes. All I ever did was knock the baffles out. I didn't go get straight pipes. Next time I want to do that. I want people to hear me coming.
Oh, I got the loudest ones you can get, and it's pretty cool. But I got a couple of Hell's Angels stories for you.
Go.
My father-in-law used to be the mayor of Millstadt, and they came through there, and you know, everybody was all worried and stuff. They were the nicest people, and you know, just, you know, went to all the places. You know, Millstadt, it's just a
sure.
You know, a couple corner bars and, you know, nice little restaurants, and you know, the money they spent there and just passing through, it was really awesome. I had a cousin, I'm 55, he's probably 65, 70 maybe. He's 6'8", and he actually had a Harley made because he was so big. He looked like he was riding on a Tonka toy when he was on a regular bike. So he had one special made, and they used to display it at a cycle shop in Cape Girardeau. And he rode for the Hell's Angels, and he would get phone called, and he had to go for a couple of days. And it's like, I asked my dad, "Where'd Mike go?" And he goes, "Oh,
was he a member of Hell's Angels? Was he in the group?"
Yeah.
Easy to get in.
No, and I think, you know, I don't know what he actually did. He really never really would say anything or tell anybody, but. No. He'd get a phone call and he'd have to leave for a couple of days. So I don't know if he was like the enforcer to go.
Here's the thing, Steve.
Sound like an accountant.
Here's the thing about Hell's Angels. I do believe they enjoy having people think that everything they do is badass and they're outlaws.
Yeah.
When in fact he may have been called for 2 days to help raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. I'm serious. They do a ton of that charity stuff. And that's the beauty of the Hell's Angels. They're two different people. The bad guys, the good guys, but 80-90% of it, it's all harmless good stuff. It just is. But all you got to do is kill one person. and that's your reputation.
Kill one person.
You're a killer.
Yeah, I think that, if you go on to Netflix, there's a couple of really good documentaries that talk about the Moguls and all that. And there was a couple of FBI guys that actually infiltrated, and they actually were undercover for years.
I read one of their books. I read the books one of those guys wrote. You talk about a dangerous mission. Go undercover and get into the Hell's Angels, knowing that if they find out, good luck.
Hey, go on Netflix and check it out. The one you're talking about, the book. I think that one is in the documentary on there, but there's a couple of other ones too that are really, really good, and they really go into a lot of detail on them.
Yeah.
And I think they're a great bunch of guys too. And I think the one percenters, if I'm not mistaken, are the bad guys. I'm not sure, but
I think that may be right.
It's actually the American Motorcycle Association issued a statement today saying 99% of bikers are law-abiding citizens.
Okay, so it's
and so. One percenters actually wear a patch
outlaws.
On their one percenters to signify that they're outlaws.
The outlaws. There you go. That makes sense. All right, Steve, be careful.
Hey, guys.
All right. Thank you. You too. Now, see, he's typical of a guy who is a biker, loves to ride. I should ask him about helmet law.
I wouldn't want to be a 6'8" biker because then every other biker who's got four beers on him says, I want to take out the biggest, baddest dude looking in here. And you get fights just because of how big you are.
That's true. So hopefully at 6'8". You can handle yourself.
Then again, I wouldn't be a 6'8" ballet dancer either. So, you know, pick your poison.
It's true. Who's next? Ron or Larry?
Larry,
welcome to 590 The Fan. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you guys doing?
Terrific. What's up?
Thank you. I was going to answer Tim's question about the 99%er and the 1%er, but you figured out on your own.
Well, he's the head of research. He figures out the answers to his own questions.
That's why he's the head of research.
That's right. Hey. That's right.
And as far as bikers go, if you're looking for a motorcycle with ties, Frank, look at Harley's Livewire. It's completely different. It's a completely electric motorcycle.
No, no, thank you. No. No, thank you.
It, you know what? I'm kind of with you on that, but I know guys that have it, and they say it's a completely different experience.
Well, I'm sure it is completely different, but I like gasoline. I like to burn gasoline. I like the smell of gasoline, and I'm not a green person, and I don't want an electric motorcycle. I just don't. I don't care how cool it is to some people. I'm not ready for that yet.
Well, I don't know if it's made to the cool status.
Yeah, but it's got to be perfectly quiet. It can't possibly sound that wonderful exhaust of a Harley unless it's put in electronically, and that's cheating, and I don't like that. It's got to be quiet. I don't want a quiet motorcycle.
Well, I think it's more for the people for the acceleration is what it is, not so much for the noise.
Well, and guess what? I've never been much for acceleration. A Harley, to me, it's not about acceleration. It's about the cool factor. It's the sound of it. It's the look of it. And if I want acceleration, I'll get a Japanese crotch rocket, and I'll blow every Harley off the road if you want acceleration. Good luck. It's hard to beat those.
I know some pretty fast Harleys. I've got a pretty fast Harley.
Well, no, Larry. Larry, there are fast Harleys, but I personally am not interested in rocket speed acceleration. I just want to hear those pipes and cruise. Cruise is the word. Yeah.
See, well, on my electric glide, I had a motor redone by an old boy here close to the small town I live in. He's a hell of a motor worker.
Yeah.
I can now run up to sixth gear, come up on a big truck, and without having to drop the gear, still have throttle left and just run around him, increase speed by 20 miles an hour, just twisting the throttle.
Well, you know what?
That's a big Harley.
That sounds great. That sounds great. All right, Larry. I appreciate the call.
All right.
Thank you.
Guys, have a good one.
You too. There you go. 1% is the 1% who are outlaws of bikers. How do they know that? Because they don't have records of the other 99.
It's just a statement. It's a PR statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. How much time do I have? Not much. I can talk to Ron for about 1 minute. Ron, welcome to 590 The Fan. I got 1 minute. It's yours. How are you? Ron?
Did Ron hang up?
Ron?
No, I'm here. Is Frank taking calls yet?
I'm mm-hmm. taking your call. I got 1 minute. Go.
Okay.
Ron?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on, Ron.
Yeah, you're talking
Go.
To Frank right
yeah.
now.
Okay. Yeah, you're right about the 1%ers. That came out of Hollister when they had a big riot there in about 1947. The movie Wild One was made out of that with Marlon Brando in the early 50s. And Sonny Barger was a leader of the pack back in those days, and he lives in Cave Springs, Arizona. And I tell people I'm so tough. I got kicked out of the Hell's Angels many decades ago. And
either so tough or not tough enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the point I'm getting to. I got kicked out for my drinking. I said I don't drink, and they said that's a problem. So let me put my Pepsis in a paper bag while we're out in the public. And that was strike one. Strike two was they spotted me at a Dairy Queen. And then later on, they found out I had a library card. So that doesn't fit their image out there.
Mm. I don't know how much of that's true and how much is not. But let me ask you a quick question. What year was Hell's Angels founded? Can you tell me?
I'm going to say late 40s.
You're exactly right, 1948.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'm on the doorstep of 79, and I'm still riding myself.
Good for you, man.
And I hope to God I never have to ride a trike.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you. Thank you. I got
a
run.
A trike you can't lean on.
You got that. Thank you, Ron.
Right. Yeah,
I feel the same way. No, no offense to the trike people. Just not my thing. I'm gonna run a little bit over, but I'm gonna send people to buy. We'll switch from motorcycles to cars here. Cars meaning, you know, SUVs, whatever. We'll call them all cars. Two places for you to buy pre-owned. Johnny Londoff, the location you've known since 1960. Up in Florissant, and the Johnny Londoff Autoplex in St. Peter's at 70 and 79. Both have a nice selection of quality pre-owned vehicles. Now, if you want new Chevy, you're going to go to Florissant. And since 1960, that's been the location, that's been the destination for thousands and thousands of Chevy buyers. And if you are not familiar with what Chevy has, maybe it's time you got reacquainted with what Chevy has, because they have pretty much everything from that little Sonic or Spark type car, all the way up to a fully loaded Suburban and everything in between. And of course, if you're AM to PM, oh, let's say you want to pull a bike to Sturgis, you get yourself a trailer, you get a buddy or two, put the bikes on the behind a Suburban or a Tahoe, and off you go. And you know where we want you to look. Notice I didn't say you have to buy it there. Just include them. If you include them, pretty good chance that's where you'll make your purchase. Now, of course, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Thank you for being with us. Dan Buffa